worried about her voice. She was having some problems with it, and that was beautiful. Thank you, girls. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Romans? Romans chapter 8. And I want to begin reading at verse 35, and would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Romans chapter 8, verse 35, the great Apostle Paul is concluding his message on the overcoming position the believer has in Jesus Christ. Praise God. And aren't you glad to know we have that victory this morning? Hallelujah. I feel that this morning. I feel the life of Christ in this sanctuary this morning because Jesus is alive. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Glory to God. And he's here today. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of "in all these things." Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the mighty presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm asking you today for your precious anointing to fall on me, to give me your words and make me your mouthpiece to speak your word to your people, Lord God, and that it would edify them and strengthen them and build their faith, and that, Lord, you would show us one more time the glorious position we have in you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this day. In Jesus' mighty name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. When you look at the writings of the Old Testament prophets, the four major prophets and the 12 minor prophets, called minor not because their writings were less inspired, just because of the body of the work that they wrote. Not only do those Old Testament prophecies contain predictive and very precisely predictive world events that are coming to pass even before our eyes this morning, they also contain the prophets' understanding of what God had shown them, what he was saying to his people at that particular point in time. I want that to sink in as we begin this message. Not only were their writings predictive and very precisely predictive in nature, they also spoke to the people of God, saying, "Here's what God is saying to you at this point in history." I believe with all of my heart that God is sending out over this entire planet one last time an outreach of the Holy Spirit to gather and an end-time harvest. I believe the church is standing on the precipice of the greatest harvest of souls we've ever seen for the kingdom of God. I feel that this morning. And like the Old Testament prophet Zechariah said, this great harvest is going to have to be gathered in by God himself. Zechariah said it best, "Not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." Oh, this gives me joy this morning. I believe we're about to see a spiritual Holy Ghost tsunami. Hallelujah. That's going to sweep this world. That's going to sweep millions of people into the kingdom of God. And it's going to be done by people who believe this word. You're going to see two events transpiring in this last day. And I believe here's what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. I believe he's saying cling to the Word of God. Cling to the cross of Jesus Christ. For in that you have your peace. In that you have your victory. In that you have my will. In that you can do great and mighty things for me. But outside of me, you can do nothing. He's saying to the church, I'm going to use those who will believe my word and preach my word. I will use them to gather this harvest. They're going to do exploits for me that they never thought they could do. They're going to win souls that they never thought they could win, because God is going to anoint those who will submit to the authority of his word, and they're going to reap the end time harvest. They're going to be used by God simultaneously. You're going to see something else transpiring in the world. You're going to see mighty moves of religious flesh. A pseudo-revival, if you will, where it's going to seem like great numbers of people are being drawn in. But let me say this. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. The shed blood of Jesus Christ is the only way for mankind to be made right with God. There is no other way. Mankind cannot be made right by going through a 12-step program. Mankind cannot get deliverance by going through some 40 days of purpose. But in the cross of Christ, with faith anchored in the cross of Jesus Christ, there's power in his blood. The blood has never lost its power. Power to save. Power to heal. Power to deliver. Power to transform. Power to keep. Power to preserve. All power is in Christ and what he did at the cross. As the Apostle Paul was writing here, this 8th chapter of Romans, which is one of my personal favorites in all of the Word of God, he has faced many, many difficult situations. If anybody ever had a right to quit, Tom, it was him, wasn't it? I mean, I was joking with Mahari the other day. We'd went to the prison to minister. I had prisoners walking out on me, getting mad and walking out on me. Man, that's something when you can get them to leave your service at the jail, ain't it? But I did it. Because I got the Holy Spirit was leading me to address the issue of alcohol, which, don't be deceived, alcohol is very prevalent in prison, isn't it, Mahari? They have ways of getting it. And this one brother's obviously so anchored in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I appreciate what they try to do. But Alcoholics Anonymous can't change a human heart. Only Jesus Christ can do that. That's the only deliverance there is. And that brother didn't like that. He got mad and walked out on me. And he wanted everybody to know he was walking out mad too. But I've kind of adapted to that, because the Lord has shown me what Paul said here in this 8th chapter today. He said, we're counted as sheep to the slaughter. That's the view of the world to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's more specifically the view of the world to anybody who's going to stand up and uncompromisingly preach this gospel of Jesus Christ. They're not going to like it a whole lot. But our job in the church is not to determine what the world likes first and give it to them. Our mission in the church is to find out what God wants us to do and deliver what thus saith the Lord. Because what thus saith the Lord is the only deliverance that there is. And in this last day in which we're living, this morning we're seeing Libya at war. Again, another Middle Eastern country that is being formulated to fulfill the end time prophecies in the books of Daniel and Revelation. That whole geographical area over there right now before our very eyes. God is shaping it and forming it and bringing his word to pass. Church, this is the most exciting time in the world to be a believer, to be a Christian. Because I believe that soon and very soon, Jesus Christ is going to split the eastern sky. He's going to step out on a cloud of glory. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of God and with the trump of the archangel. And the dead in Christ are going to rise. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air. Hallelujah! And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's about to happen. But before it does, God is sending his spirit over this world. He's got his hand on us in this church. He's got a harvest for us that he wants us to gather in for him. And it's now time. The Holy Spirit has been telling me this week as I prepared this message. He didn't put it quite like this, but I'll use my verbiage. Put the pedal down, because I'm going to move. I'm going to go in front of you. I'm going to prepare people. I'm going to give you opportunities to witness. I'm going to give you opportunities to share my word, because you have been given the right message, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's not our message, it's God's message, and it will accomplish what He sent it forth to do. Let me tell you something, there is no power outside of Jesus Christ and the movement of His Holy Ghost. Religion cannot deliver mankind. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Let me tell you something this morning. The Lord's telling me to slow down and really hit this point hard right now. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. What does that mean? That means there is not a human being born who can meet God's standard of holiness and righteousness. There's not a human born who's ever kept all 10 commandments. It can't be done. Man cannot keep the law. And it's hard trying, ain't it, Tom? My brother here, he's just a wonderful man of God. He's learned what all of us have learned. He tried for years to keep that law and was miserably saved, just like all of us. But oh, happy day, he found grace. Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah! He found grace. He found the blood of Jesus and found out I don't have to perform to get His favor. This is what so many people misunderstand about Christianity and how we're supposed to live as Christians and how Christianity operates. Christianity is not about us being perfect through our own power, because we can't do that. Not a one of us. It cannot be done. Christianity is about placing your faith and trust in the one who is perfect and allowing Him to cleanse you, because He's the only one qualified to cleanse you and me. This book of Colossians, or the book of Colossians, says our lives are hidden in Christ. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Altogether, it means that the only way we can be made right is by faith alone. The only way we can be declared not guilty before God is by faith. You can't get it by going through a ceremony. You can't get it by trying to keep Old Testament law and Old Testament sacrifices and Old Testament ceremonies, as good as they are and were at that time. They were merely a stopgap measure to where the one who John the Baptist, when he saw Him coming over the hills of Galilee, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Hallelujah. Only Jesus can make one righteous. Only Jesus can make one holy. Only Jesus can make one fit to meet God's standard. Hallelujah. It can't be that people try so very hard. It's part of man's sin nature. Man wants so desperately to be able to say, "I did something of my own volition that made me right with God." And man is so helplessly doomed in that endeavor, because all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. That's why you need Jesus. That's why the world needs Jesus. It's looking to be made right before God. When you're born as a human being, there is an innate desire placed in you to be right with your Creator. There's also an innate awareness given to you that you're born not right with Him. That's why people try to take truckloads of pills to combat depression. Because imagine living like this, and this is exactly how the person who is without their faith in Christ and Him, what He did for him at the cross. Here's how you live, whether you know it or not. You live under the 24 hours, 365 day a year judgment of God that says you're guilty and you're condemned to live out eternity without me. And the Holy Spirit's telling me, press it hard now and don't back down from it. There is a literal burning hell. It's not made up. Jesus talked about it. And Jesus talked about it in Luke 17. There is a literal burning place of torment where souls who reject Jesus Christ will go forever. And I take no pleasure in telling you that today. But God Almighty, in His great love, has made a provision for no one to have to go there. It's not God's desire. Let me quote the most beautiful scripture, I believe, of all, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you notice what the word said? Whosoever believeth, not whosoever doeth. If you'll believe and trust on him, God will count you righteous. God will count you holy. God will count you as being sinless because of your faith in the one who is sinless, who is holy, who is righteous, who is the Son of God, and his name is Jesus Christ. And until the human soul is assuaged from that guilt, it's like a crushing weight on the human soul. And people try everything in the world to get out from under that guilty verdict that their lives are under if they're without Christ. They try to drink it away. They try to drug it away. They try to have a number of improper relationships. It drives man to go deeper and deeper into sin. God does not will for you to live in a burning eternity without him. He loves you so much, he sent Jesus to die on a cross because Jesus was the only one who could do it. And the Holy Spirit, this is not very homiletically beautiful this morning, but I don't care. I want to preach what he wants me to preach. Somebody's soul's on the line this morning for all of eternity. And God is reaching out to you today. God is reaching out to you today, and he's telling you, I love you. I send my son to die for you. I will deliver you, and I will give you life like you've never known it before if you'll come to me. Let me tell you something. Young folks, Jesus is better than Jack Daniels. He's better than cocaine. He's better than those nuts on MTV on Jersey Shore. He's got life for you. Hallelujah. He's got life. That's not life. You say you watch that Jersey Shore? Not a lot. I can only take a little bit of it. But I like to know what the kids, or what kids our age, Tom, are watching. And those of you have teenagers. Have you ever seen a more messed up bunch in your whole life? Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? They're laughing. Y'all, I know three or four of you in here this morning know what I'm about, six, seven, eight of you. All they do is fight and get drunk. And I've never seen a more miserable bunch in my whole life. They ain't happy. There's no life in that. And that's what poor, pitiful MTV tries to hold up as, oh, this is life. This is fun. You're looking at somebody this morning, Mahari, you know what I'm talking about too. And Tom, I believe most of you. I had what that world told me would make me happy. I had its drugs. I had its parties. I had its alcohol. It cracks me up now. Some people look at me now and they just see what God's done. I'll make this point. Last week, I don't get on Facebook much, but I was on there, and Jeremy, he's not here today, but Jeremy had filled out one of those questionnaire things about you. I don't even know what they are, but I had to go see what Jeremy had put down about me. And it asks questions, I guess, about you. Those of you that use Facebook know what I'm talking about. Like, do you think this person would ever do that, ever drink, or ever, you know, it had this list of bad things. And poor old Jeremy's just known me for about 2 years now. He said, oh, no, my pastor would never have done these things. I thought, what a work of grace God has done in my life, because I'd categorically done every one of them that he said I'd never do. And you know where it left me? In front of a TV set ready to blow my brains out. Sin is so destructive to the human soul. And if you don't seek to assuage the ravages of sin through Jesus Christ, you're doomed just to merely dig yourself deeper into it, where there's more depression. No wonder there's so many pills being given for depression today that can't help somebody. Jesus has life for you. Jesus has life for you, true life. I know I've had what they told me would make me happy. And I'm here to tell you it won't. It won't do it. What you see now standing in front of you is a work of God's mighty grace. Because I was ready to blow my brains out When Ben came to Shiloh at about 2 o'clock in the morning on the 700 Club, God reached out to me the way he's reaching out to some of you right now today. And he said, there's somebody out there watching this program. Your name is Greg. And Greg, God's got a call on your life. And if you'll give it to him, he'll do something with it that you never thought he could do. I'm here to tell you there's life only in Jesus. Give him a hand of praise this morning. And the good news is, you know what I'm talking about, don't you, brother? The good news is, what he's done for one, he'll do for all. Hallelujah. Because nothing can separate us from his love. Hallelujah. He loves you this morning. And you say, how do you know he loves me? He sent Jesus to die in your place. And I came back down from saying this morning. There's something deep going on in the spirit world this morning, church. And when God wants to move, you throw your little outline out the window and you preach what he's telling you to preach. He's wanting to save some of you this morning at the sound of my voice. He's wanting to transform your life from a life that is doomed for a black burning eternity into a life full of vigor, a life full of hope, a life full of promise, a life that has a glorious eternity ahead of it, where you're going to get a glorified body one day that'll never grow out, never grow old, no tears will be shed, hallelujah. And not only in the kingdom to come, but in this life right now, Jesus has life for you this morning. And he's extending his offer of grace to you today. Let me take you to the cross for a moment. It was probably very close to 3 o'clock in the afternoon when this event occurred. That's recorded in the Gospels. Jesus had been on the cross approximately nearing 6 hours. He was hung between two thieves, and that was really a microcosm of the world and its situation. Jesus in the middle. One thief on the right, one on the left. They deserved to be there on the cross as he didn't. And those two thieves are the only ones who are feeling the same pain that Jesus is. And the crowd that was gathered there that day, only those two thieves are feeling what Jesus is feeling. They understand, like nobody else, the pain and suffering that this man in the middle is under. And he was under much more than them because he was paying the sin debt for the world. But finally, the thief on his left realizes this man's been in the same kind of pain I've been in for 6 hours. And I've never heard him curse the first time. As a matter of fact, the only thing I've heard him say is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Hope is a powerful thing. And I can imagine this thief had lived his life. He had had a rough life. Who knows, maybe his parents had been mean to him. Who knows his situation, what had landed him where he was. But all of a sudden, him feeling the same pain that Jesus is feeling and seeing how Jesus has responded to the insults, to the spit, to the crown of thorns, he says, this man is different. And hope goes off in this thief's soul because he had no doubt heard about Jesus, all about him, before they were put on the cross. He had no doubt heard that this man in the middle was the one who had opened blinded eyes. This man in the middle had raised the dead. And then as the one thief begins to hurl insults on the right, he says, shut up. In essence, this man has done no wrong. We deserve to be here on these crosses. He doesn't. Now I want you to watch this. This is how much God loves man. And in a sense, he's doing this. The Holy Spirit is doing this to some of you today. That thief cried out to Jesus Christ, the only one who has the power to save and to heal and deliver in this universe. And he was paying that very thief's debt of sin. He cried out to him and says, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? What was he saying? First of all, he was acknowledging, Jesus, you are the Son of God. Jesus, you're the only hope I've got. And I love it. I love it. I love it. I won't take too much time to go into it right now. But it cost Christ in his mortal human flesh excruciating pain to push up on that bottom nail and to draw a breath and to tell that thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. I'm telling you, if you'll call on him, he'll change your life. He'll transform your life. Jesus can do it. He'll give you life if you'll call on him today. And I got to love it. It's so beautiful. See, paradise was a compartment where the righteous dead stayed. Hell was divided into two compartments before the death of Christ. Paradise was where the Old Testament saints who were looking for him to come were held until the final sin debt would be paid. And the first one he walks into paradise with is an ex-thief. Glory to God. Which is all of us. All of us are guilty of thievery. You say, what? I've never stole nothing, Pastor. You've withheld your soul from Jesus Christ. That's thievery. Your soul and your spirit belongs to him. He made it. And if you'll cry out to him today, just like that thief did on the cross, and say, Lord, will you save me? He doesn't demand you to be perfect. He says, I'll take you like you are, and I'll begin to work on your life, and I'll transform you, and I'll change you into something you never thought you could be. My Lord, there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. And to those who are saved, and there's the introduction to this morning's message. That's a good chance to laugh, but you missed it. It went over you. To those of you who have been washed in that precious crimson flow, who put your faith in what he did for you on the cross, in these last days, this world is going to be shaken more and more. It's just beginning right now. I mean, how bad is it when the Lord of glory himself says, when you see all these earthquakes in divers places, wars and rumors of wars, these are the beginning of sorrows. This world has not even scratched the surface of the calamity that's coming upon it. And I'm here to tell you, the United States is not going to be exempt. The United States, just because for years we were the spiritual leader, so to speak, of the world, we've fallen from that position. We're no longer there. This nation has shook its face in the fist of God for so long that God is judging us by giving us the kind of leaders that he's given us. Let that sink in. He's judging this nation by allowing the leaders it now has to come to power. Godless leaders. Muslim leaders. I don't back down from it. You say, Pastor, this may sound harsh. Islam is a lie. Confucianism is a lie. There is nothing, no, I can't say it hard enough. I don't have the verbiage to say it as powerfully as it should be said. There is nothing outside of Jesus Christ and him crucified that can save humanity. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Hear this preacher this morning as the Holy Ghost is reaching out to save your soul and deliver you from a dark eternity. Ceremony will not deliver you. Religion will not deliver you. Only faith in Christ and him crucified will deliver the human soul and spirit. Religion is so deceptive. And our nation is being judged right now. By Almighty God. We are under the judgment of Almighty God. But as I said at the beginning of the message, in the Old Testament, the prophets knew what God was saying to his people at the time. And what God is saying to us, his people, is exactly what we read out of Romans chapter 8 this morning. Man, I'm sorry. I'll just have to finish this next week or something. But notice the great Apostle Paul, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, wrote, in all these things. God is not going to deliver his people from the things that are going to come upon this planet. He's going to deliver them in those things. He's still walking in the fire. He's still in the lion's den. Hallelujah. He's saying to his church today, just like he told Joshua so many thousands of years ago, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. In all these things, God is going to separate his people, and he's going to put his anointing on them, and they're going to go forth in his mighty name and do exploits for him. That's what's coming. Get ready, get ready, get ready for the greatest move of the Holy Spirit this world has ever seen. It's coming. It's coming. And we're going to be a part of it because, not because we're so worthy and so knowledgeable in and of ourselves, it's because we're clinging to what God said to cling to, Jesus Christ. Notice the words of the apostle. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. How are we more than conquerors in all this calamity? Through him who loved us. Praise God. And then he goes on to make the point, what is going to separate us from that love? I love how he stated. He said, for I am persuaded that neither height nor depth nor principalities nor power nor things that are nor present things to come. Nothing is going to separate us from the love of God. And that's really all we need to know in this last day and age in all these things that are taking place. Praise God. Praise God. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you right with God? I want it to sink in. The Holy Ghost is moving mightily. Are you right with God? Because if you're not right with God, you're living under his judgment. And you're aware of that. Maybe you haven't identified it as such. Maybe deep in your heart and soul and spirit, you know there's something wrong. Something's not right. And it leaves the human soul and spirit with a restlessness that really can't be defined. That's why I'm taking the time to tell you this morning. What's wrong is you're without Jesus. And you need Jesus. You're living under the judgment of Almighty God. You see, God is a God of great, great love and mercy, but he's a God of great judgment too. He's made a way of escape. He has provided a way of escape. A way to be made right with him. What he demands, he has already provided in Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus is the only way to be made right before him. So I'm asking you, are you right with God this morning? Is that restlessness, is it plaguing your soul to the point you can't hardly sleep at night? Are you living in fear all the time? And possibly you've gone to a psychologist and he said, well, you're bipolar, you're this or that here, take some pills and these will make you feel better. And you go back to him 2 or 3 months later and the only thing he has to offer you is maybe more pills. It's a spiritual problem you're facing, not a physical one, if you're without Christ. I want to ask you, are you right with God? Are you right with God? You say, preacher, I want to be. I don't believe I am, but I want to be. How can I be right with God? Some of you have believed erroneously that you have to make your life perfect to get God to accept you. Nothing is further from the truth. None of us would be accepted by him if we had to make our life perfect before we could present it to him. It's quite the exact opposite. He wants you just like you are. He knows all about your sin. He knows all about your failure. And yet he says, come on, if you'll do it my way. Now he's very specific on his way. But if you'll do it my way, I'll make you right. I'll make you holy. I'll adopt you as one of my very own children and treat you as such. Are you right with him? Do you want to be? I'm going to simply tell you how. I'm going to pray a prayer in just a moment. He said in the book of Hosea, I believe it was, to take with you words. Take with you words. That's really all we can take to him. Like that thief on the cross. Cry out to him, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. If you're not right with him this morning, you want to be. It's as simple as calling on Jesus, just like that thief did that day. He's so quick to save. Much quicker than the church gives him credit for. He loves you. He loves you. And if you know in your heart you're not right with God this morning, I don't care if you're 3 or 103. If you've just understood what I'm saying, the Holy Ghost is reaching out to you. And you may feel a little bit uncomfortable right now. That's because he's making you aware you're a sinner and you need Jesus. And there's no shame in that. All of us were in that boat at one time. Don't be ashamed of that. That's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He's pointing out to you, you need Jesus. He's confirming to your spirit what's been preached to you this morning. And if you'll call on him in this prayer that we're going to pray in a few minutes, and you mean it with all of your heart, he's not going to cast you aside. He's going to open up his arms to you and say, come on, you're mine. I've been waiting for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He loves you. Would everyone please stand? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, please, no one moving around right now in reverence to the mighty Holy Ghost, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know that your word has gone forth this morning in power. And though, Lord, we may not have preached it as eloquently as it should have been, I've sensed your Holy Spirit moving. Right now, I'm calling on you to make an eternal decision. The Holy Ghost, let me be more specific. The Holy Spirit is calling on you to make an eternal decision. God will not make you serve him. He will not make you come to Jesus. He respects your choice. But he has offered you, he has reached out to you today through his Spirit, just like he did to that thief on the cross. And he's telling me now, to put it across one more time, there is no way. If you don't hear anything else I've said today, hear this. There's no way for you to be made right before a holy God outside of faith in Christ and what he did at the cross. You may go through a lot of religious exercises, a lot of religious ceremonies. They will not make you right before God. Even when you look in the Old Testament, all of those beautiful feasts and ceremonies that God gave, those were a stopgap measure, every one of those in some type pointing to Jesus Christ. When the priests would offer up the lambs in the Old Testament, that's why Jesus is called the Lamb of God. Those lambs in the Old Testament merely covered sin. They didn't take it away. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, can take it away. Are you right with God this morning? Every head bowed, please, and every eye closed. No one looking around, because I want this to be between you and God. I'm not trying to get you to admit something to me. This is a God thing. Are there some of you today here who would say, Pastor, based on what you've preached today, I know I'm not right with God, but I want to be. You just slip up a hand right now without hesitation. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. We're not going to embarrass you. God bless you, young lady. I see that hand. Are there any others? I want to be made right with God. I'm not, but I want to be. He's calling you right now. Don't harden your heart to him. Don't harden your heart. It's a precious thing to have God call you into his great plan of salvation. And he's doing that for a number of you right now. Are there others? I won't embarrass you. I promise you that. Nobody's going to make you come down front and say a bunch of things. I'm going to lead you in a prayer if you're wondering what's going to happen. But our part is, even the thief on the cross had to cry out to him and admit, Jesus, I'm a sinner, I need you. There is no salvation outside of admitting the fact. You can't make your own self right before him, before a holy God. It takes Jesus. And that's in essence what we're asking you to do right now. Are there any more who would say, I know I'm not right with God? And hold up your hand right now. Don't delay. The Holy Ghost is calling you. Hold it up high so I'll see it. I know he's calling you. He loves you. He's not out to embarrass you. He's not out to humiliate you. He wants to deliver you from that life of sin. He wants to give you life. And he will change your life. You don't have to change it. He'll do the changing. Jesus Christ is alive. I'm not preaching somebody who's dead and in a tomb this morning. I'm not preaching about Buddha or Muhammad or any other religious leader. I'm preaching about the Son of God. He will do what I've told you he'll do. He's done it for me. He's done it for thousands of others. And I'm not going to beleaguer the altar call much longer. God's extending that nail-scarred hand. Jesus Christ is extending his hand of grace to you today to say, I'll make you right if you'll call on me. One last time, are there any at all? Uplifted hand, say, that's me. I need to be right with God this morning, today, right now. Anybody at all? But not to the one who did raise their hand, we praise God for you. When that hand went up, you were in essence doing what that thief on the cross did. You were crying out to Jesus to say, Jesus, save me. That's why we asked you to do it. Not so that we could elicit a response from you to fill our monthly report out or anything like that. This is about you and God. I want to ask everyone who will to pray out loud with me, to lend strength to the one who did raise their hand. And I'm just saying this prayer. There's nothing magical about these words I'm saying. It's just maybe you don't know what to say to God. You want to be right with Him, and you may be wondering, well, okay, what do I do? I'm going to tell you something the Holy Spirit's telling me to tell you right now. You were saved the moment that hand shot up because you were crying out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're just going to pray a prayer now that will solidify your spirit, because you'll know the Holy Spirit will come into your life and you'll know you've been saved. Everyone who will, would you pray with me now out loud, and especially the one who raised their hand. Heavenly Father, I come to you today in the name of your Son Jesus. I have sinned, Lord. You know that. And I can't take my sin away. But based on your word, in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, I confess Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I believe in my heart that He has been risen from the dead and lives forevermore. Come into my heart, Jesus. Cleanse me in your precious blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I will live for you all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have saved me. I put my faith in you. Now, based upon your word, I'm holy, I'm righteous, I'm sinless, I am saved. Amen and amen. Give Jesus Christ the hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, let me tell you something. That was between you and the Lord. And what you just prayed to come into the kingdom of God is what's going to hold you in the kingdom of God. You just keep on placing your faith every day of your life in Jesus and what He did for you at the cross. You're never going to be perfect as you in this human flesh. But if your faith remains in the one who is perfect, when God looks at you, listen to me closely now. That scripture I quoted from Colossians, our lives are hidden in Him. God doesn't see you anymore. He sees the perfection of Christ. He sees the holiness of His Son Jesus. You're in Jesus. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All is made new. Hallelujah. That's what happened for you today. That's what He did for you today. And there's some others of you. Before you leave today, you needed to pray that prayer with me, and you know it. Jesus will meet you where you are. You don't have to be in a church to get saved. If at 3 or 4 o'clock this morning you wake up wide-eyed and you call on Him just like I taught you to this morning, He'll reach out to you and He'll save you. He loves you. He loves us all. Hallelujah. You say, man, you get excited. Well, let me tell you, I like watching football. And I'll scream sometimes over him chasing a pig's belly around the field. My Lord, it's something to shout about, to know our sins are washed away. We're right with God. We're the redeemed of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's exciting. That's what He did for you today. Praise God. Don't you feel the joy in that, Brother Tom? Woo! I feel the witness of the Holy Spirit. You got saved today. Keep walking and living in that. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we still got 10 minutes to 12 yet. And the Holy Spirit's telling me, it's your time. It's your time. I'm speaking to believers right now this morning. The Holy Ghost of God wants to touch some of you today. Here's what He's telling me. Here's what He's telling me. Been a long time since some of you got in the mighty river of the Holy Ghost and let the refreshing power of God flow all over you. It's time. It's time to jump back in the river this morning. Glory to God. Glory to God. Believer, don't stay dry. Get to this altar right now. Don't walk. Don't patty cake. Come running. His river's flowing. Glory to God. Glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, fill my heart overflowing this morning. Fill him to overflowing one more time this morning, Lord. Renew him, refresh him, Lord. Just like you did the prophet Ezekiel. Take him through the river of God one more time and let it be deeper than he's ever known before. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, touch Phyllis today, Lord. Fill her to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Renew her today in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I thank you for what you're doing in Mike's life right now, Lord. Mike, I've never forgotten what I told you on Wednesday night. His blessing is upon you now. His blessing is upon you. Keep walking in it. Keep growing in it. Lord, fill Mike to overflowing with the power of your Spirit like he's never known before. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Others of you, you're going through the trial of your life this morning and you've wondered, is he still with me? I didn't get to it fully this morning, but the scripture I read says, nothing shall separate you from the love of God. And he said, in all these things. Did you get that? In all these things. He's not going to make you a conqueror in the midst of your trial and your tribulation. He's telling you, you already are one. Because in the midst of your trial and tribulation, you're in him. You're in him. And there is no defeat in him. Glory to God. Praise God. Everybody, if you would, all over the sanctuary, would you lift your hands unto him as a sign of submission? And I'm going to tell you, I love you. And I hope you know that. But some of you should have come running to this altar this morning. You stood back there in rebellion and didn't do it. And you missed out on a great blessing. And God will still bless you. He's a God of grace. But some of you reared up for some reason or another. And I don't know what it is. But I'm here to tell you, you shouldn't ought to have done that. I love you. And I believe the Holy Spirit's telling me to tell you this down. I don't need my ego placated to have people run to the altar. I want to see you blessed. And if you obey God, he'll bless you. Open your heart up to him right now where you stand. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus today, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Lord, to everyone who has their hands raised in submission to you today, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, give them the revelation of where they stand spiritually in all these things. They are not separated from the love of God. They're not separated from the power of God. He's right there with them in all these things. And because he's there, we have your victory. We have your power. We have your overcoming grace. Glory to your precious name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let him bless you. Let him bless you in all these things. Some of you have been praying for deliverance in all these things, and God's got you right where he wants you to prove his power to you in all these things. You're more than a conqueror through him who loved you. Father, give everyone that revelation today, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you something, church. We're the redeemed of the Lord. We've been bought with a price, with the precious blood of Christ. There ought to be some rejoicing in the house of Almighty God. Lift your hands and praise him. Be ashamed I have to tell you to do it. Don't be like an automaton. Praise him. Thank him for what he's done for you. He's delivered us. He's healed us. He's saved us. He's preserving us. And we have treasure laid up in heaven where moth and rust will never corrupt. Praise God, we've got something to shout about today. We know a song the angels cannot sing this morning. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I praise you and I thank you. Give us revival in this church, Lord. I'm not praying for more people. I'm praying for more of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Enlarge the Spirit of God within us, Lord Jesus. That's what we need. That's what we need. We need a greater revelation of who you are, Lord Jesus, in our lives. We need a greater revelation of our glorious and wondrous position in you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, I thank you for what you've done today. Holy Spirit of God, if nothing gets done without you. I thank you for this precious soul that has come to Jesus Christ today. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord, Who knows, they needed to make that decision, but I pray you help me to explain the gospel clearly so that when they make that decision to call on you, they'll know what to say. Lord, to the believers, as we're living in these tumultuous times where this planet, you're shaking this, the very foundations of this planet, Lord Jesus, may we never forget that in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. And nothing is going to separate us from that love. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Mahari, would you dismiss us in prayer, brother? Praise God. Praise God.